Hi, guys.
Hi, Rob. Robert, I'm Alini. How you doing?
Cool, good.
Excellent.
So, how was your week?
Shoot, man, it seemed very cool. Moving forward. Remember that one. Moving forward. And I think that one of the things I've done, which I think is big, is I've stepped onto the invisible bridge.
Good.
And I think that that's the first thing you got to do in your head to make this thing work.
No, that's right. It's true.
So I'm going for it.
Well, we spend the first 30 minutes worrying.
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't that your quote in there, though?
Right. Sit there for 30 minutes and worry. And then
get over it.
And then get over it and do it. Oh, you read it. That's good. That's good. You guys are
doing well. We're reading that, and we're like on the...
And the other two books you read.
Yeah, The Powerful Engagement. I'm doing that on audio.
Play to Win.
Yeah.
And Play to Win. So,
that's good.
I have some questions. Oh, by the way, then one of the things we worked on yesterday is we kind of detailed the script. If you had three
good
sample scripts and a fourth one, and then I just kind of put it together in our lingo, you know, in my lingo. So I detailed that out for not only for returning clients, but also for prospects. Okay? And so I think I'm all set there, and I'm kind of now like kind of going through it and practicing and getting better. And you know, it'll take me a few times, but I'll get smooth.
You want to try it?
I had lunch with a COI. You know, kind of gave him. I'm kind of like turning him into a type of a supernova, right? The COI. And we agreed to meet every month, and actually there's about 8 names that he gave me that I actually never even followed up on, but now I got to call him back, go through those names, see if they still qualify, you know, and I'll be hitting them over the next week.
We also, we found an outlet, you know, I don't know if Abe's assistant is going to become a financial advisor. Like, he's going to go through the training program.
Okay.
So we found an outlet too that we feel comfortable, you know, as far as the clients that we're segmenting away from. So we're just gonna eventually hand them off to him as he's going through the training program.
Excellent. So that's gonna work.
Yeah, we're not gonna go into the whole. We're just going to let them have the accounts, and you know, we found that anybody that doesn't fall in with our minimum thing, that it'll be something that you know, that he'll appreciate. So, and we feel very comfortable with him. I'm sure you've talked to him, but to Anthony, you might have talked to him in the past. So he's going to be doing the financial advisor associate program in the next couple months. So. It's a good outlet for us as well to have somebody like that we can, you know, just hand them off to. So, works for both of us.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay, so what questions do you have?
Okay, I actually have a kind of unique acquisition question. If you're open to a acquisition prospecting question.
Yeah, this is what I love. You know, I told you that once we get into acquisition, that's when you can really use me as a consultant.
Excellent. Okay, now, I have a, this is a little bit unique, as I said, it's a unique question. I have an outside business activity that, it's really kind of a large-scale activity. I have two managers that run a men's salon and spa about 3 blocks away from me here in Coral Gables, Florida.
Right. I remember hearing about this when I was there visiting, so I'm familiar with it.
So this is, it's been a hit. We service about 2,000 guys in the area. It's an upscale salon. We charge a premium price. So it is a it's a unique way to meet well-to-do guys. Now, I have a business developer there, and all he does is promote the brand, develop pipelines of business with other businesses, network like crazy, and then I'm training him, and I can train him further. He now becomes a very important COI.
Right.
Because he's the guy meeting all the well-to-do men that walk into my barbershop and spa. Okay?
Right.
Now, one of the things, I've got to know a lot of these guys. They're business owners, attorneys, accountants, doctors, etc. You know, the type of people that we want to meet, basically.
Yep.
Where I have felt it's a little bit delicate in the lunch, I think in the lunch, let's say, and we're meeting, how do I introduce myself as a financial advisor, not just a business owner, or do I simply do that bluntly? Do I bluntly do that? Do I just throw that in there? Let me tell you what I do. It's my career. Do you have any suggestions on this?
Yeah, I do. I would suggest you do, you know, one of the genius things that we learn from people that are great marketers but aren't necessarily great ethical people is how clever they are in meeting people.
Okay.
All right. Now, I couldn't watch the Bernie Madoff story on TV because it made me so sick. I had to turn it off.
Or Jordan Belfort or those type of guys, right?
All those guys, right. But what Bernie did, which was absolute genius, was he would not take an account. Okay? His practice was closed. And, see, human beings, I mean, look, you have a successful spa who can charge a premium price because you make it exclusive, right? It isn't that somebody can't walk in, but they can't walk in unless they have discretionary money, right? It's premium price. People that are trying to pinch pennies are not walking in there to get a haircut, okay? So it's an experience. You're selling an experience. You're not selling, and you're selling to a unique clientele that can afford it. All right. So what you want to do is basically create the image that your practice is closed. In fact, you could even tell people that. You know, I have this other business. It's a practice, financial services practice, but at this time, we're not taking any new clients. We're, you know, it's been very successful, and we're not taking any new clients. Well, think about that, right? Just by saying it, what does the guy want? Well, what do you mean it's closed? Well, we have a maximum of 70 clients, and at this time we're closed. Well, you know, when somebody leaves, would you consider taking me on? Well, maybe. We can spend some time and I can talk to you about it, but make sure who's your CPA, who's your attorney, you know. And Bernie, what he did was he wouldn't even talk to the guy. He told him who his attorney was and made their attorney talk to his attorney. So in a sense, but look, you're not going to have problems growing your practice. All right, you're a good marketer. I suggest you take this tack and you let people know that your practice is closed. And the only way they get in is through an introduction from a CPA or attorney or somebody that's really highly qualified. I mean it. I would do that. I think it will work. Because the people that you are catering to are all have big egos, and they all want to, you know, they want to look nice, they want to be part of something, you know, exclusive. So anyway, go from there. Take it from there. And the idea, and you don't want a lot of clients at this point. You want good clients, high quality clients, and clients that don't question them, right? That's basically, you do the right thing, you do a financial plan for them, you do what's right, and you take care of them, and then they refer you to somebody else. But they're not coming in and questioning your fees and questioning your strategy and questioning this and that. They feel very privileged to have been allowed the opportunity to join you. Therefore, when you set a high minimum, that makes it even more exclusive. So, you can say your practice is closed, or you can say my minimum is, you know, I don't take anybody less than 5 million. And that makes it virtually closed for most people. And that makes it that much more attractive.
I know that, I mean, that sounds great, but I think one of the issues, because I'm not in these meetings with him, and I think what's happening is that where he's having the difficulty, I think, and I mean, you'll say, is it because Ricky's setting you up as to have lunch with the owner of the Welcome General?
Yep.
And you don't know when to say, because you're meeting them as the owner of Welcome General, and that's how they expect you, that they're meeting you.
Right.
And you don't know when to go into the Morgan side. Is that, that's the problem, right?
That's part of it. Yeah.
Right.
But you don't have a way that you feel comfortably as to say, like, hey, by the way, surprise, like I backdoored you into this meeting. That makes anybody feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I tricked you into this meeting, so now I can tell you I'm from Morgan, but I'm like...
I can say I'm a career certified financial planner at Morgan Stanley. But that practice is closed. I mean, that would be the...
No, I mean, it's an interesting idea. You don't have to take that idea. But if you see how it would play in terms of...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're worried about the fact that you're going to look like you're too aggressive.
Right.
To go the opposite. And say, you know, and just, here's the reality. These relationships build over time. There is no simple shortcut. People do business with people because they like them and they trust them. You don't develop trust in the first encounter. So asking them, what do you do when you meet somebody? To be interesting, you have to be interested. So you have to be others-focused.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is that you spend your time asking them about them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that becomes very interesting for them. So they spend... I always tell people, the first part of any time you meet somebody is you find out what you have in common. All right? That's the tribal conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you go to high school? Where did you go to college? Where did you do this? Where did you do this? You know, what clubs do you belong to? You know, religion, whatever. You figure out why you're the same. Right? And then you ask them about them and their practice and what they do and why they're unique. Okay? So what makes your business unique? Why are you guys good? And then, eventually they'll turn it to you. So what do you do? Do you do something other than this? Yes, my main, you know, this has kind of been a fun, kind of a dream for me, a fun hobby. But my main practice is that I've got a great team, and I'm a financial advisor who helps people with all their financial challenges, etc. So that, and then, you know, you tell them a story, and that's why I love my job, so this is what I do. Okay? So that's when they start asking you questions. Well, what makes you unique? What makes your practice unique? And then you can tell them. Tell them why your practice is different in the average practice. Okay, and you can use the things that we've taught you and other things, why is it different? Part of it is because we are, you know, we do this regular, you know, multi-generational planning plus full implementation of that planning process with 12 scheduled appointments, 4 reviews, 2 of them in person. We have rapid response to your problems, 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. And, you know, I'd love you to meet my team. And they go, oh, great. Yeah, that'd be fun. Okay. So, boom. And, you know, I'd love to, you know, talk more about it. Or I'd like to, you know more about your company and what you do. So it's just relationship building is what you're doing. Developing friendships. And then those friendships turn into businesses. So, you know, you can be a businessman with multiple interests. That's okay. That's good. People find that interesting. But I would tell you, you want to make sure that I would emphasize my team in those situations because clearly, you know, this business that you're running is taking some time. So you want to meet the people that are running your various businesses. That makes sense?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, it takes some courage to do the close, you know, my business at this time is closed to new business, but, you know, from time to time there is an opening and for the right situation it might make sense to talk sometime. And boom, that's it. So all of a sudden they're like, whoa, okay, so how many clients do you have? What's your minimum? That makes you very, you know, very attractive. It's like doctors, right? You can't get into a doctor. I mean, the doctors you want to get into, you can't get into. And so you have to be introduced in by somebody who gets you an appointment. That's very attractive. You know, that gives them legitimacy. So, whether or not that's actually true, it makes the doctor more attractive. So, anyway, sometimes it's fun to think in opposites. They say genius is thinking in opposites. So, when you think about how do I get to become more attractive, sometimes you think about how can I push them away.
I get it. When I started the business, I learned the takeaway, right? The takeaway close.
Perfect. The takeaway close. I don't know that this is a good fit for you. You know, maybe we shouldn't move ahead here. Why not? What's wrong? Yeah. Yeah, the puppy dog close, take the puppy dog and then take it away. Sorry, you know, that's it. Well, you'd like, you know, that's the 90-day free look. The 90-day free look is great for, you know, that's one of our strategies. And that's basically it's the opportunity to give them something, the puppy dog, hold the puppy dog for the next 90 days, and at the end of the 90 days, you take it away. Say, okay, it's over. Well, what do you mean? Well, 90 days are up. So what you do is this is particularly good with people that are on the fence. And they can't make up their mind. Their buddy is the guy they went to college with, is their financial advisor. He might be leaving any day, you know, might be retiring. But you just can't get them to push over the edge. And so you say, look, let's do this. We think, you know, our clients tell us that what we deliver is very different than they've ever had. And for you to really understand that, we need to give you an opportunity to feel what it's like to be a client. So for the next 90 days, we're going to treat you as if you said yes. So what does that look like? We're going to give you a folder. We're going to call you. We're going to come and see you, or you're going to come and see us. We're just going to talk as if we already are doing business together. So we'll have an agenda, and then we'll have an executive summary, and you'll get it. You'll understand much better what it was like. You know, you wouldn't buy a new Mercedes or whatever your favorite car is without driving it. you know, and sometimes you'd even, they even give you the opportunity to take it home overnight or over the weekend. Well, that's what we want you to do. So feel comfortable with what we do and how we do it, and then we'll go from there. So that's a, that works. There's a guy in California who does it all the time and very successful. So just another the technique when you get into the a situation where somebody, you know he definitely is qualified, but for one reason or another, you can't close it. I don't suggest using it unless you can't close the person. Joy's had a few people that are on the fence, and you're just like, should I dump them as a prospect? No. Give them a 90-day free look, and if they don't do it after 90 days, you take it away and say goodbye. But you've done everything you could to get them into a position of saying yes.
Does the 90-day free look include a financial plan?
I wouldn't suggest a full financial plan unless they pay for it. I would suggest that you do a fact finder on them though. Okay? So you can in a half an hour have a pretty good handle on what the client's challenges are in his financial situation. So I would do a fact finder without doing a financial plan.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Well, you know, one of the great things about life is that no matter how many good ideas you have, it doesn't matter whether you share them or not because most people don't use them. I always tell people that, and they say, I don't want you to, I had one team that I was coaching in a complex, and they said, we don't want anybody else to hire you. I said, why? They said, well, we want all your good ideas, and then we want you to go away, basically. And I said, don't worry. I said, just because they hire me doesn't mean they're going to use the ideas I give them. Okay? So this 90-day free look's a really good idea, but it doesn't mean people use it. That's the crazy thing about life. There's a million good ideas in front of you, but most people don't bother to lean over and pick them up. So one of the things to do is to say, okay, just like reading these books, you guys did it. Most people don't. They don't bother even read the books. So you read the books, okay? So here's a good idea. All right, you like the idea. All right, find somebody and do it.
Right.
Try it.
Okay.
And guess what? You know, and then try it again. It's like, it's like picking up pickleball or tennis or any sport. You're not going to be perfect the first time you do it, but don't be too hard on yourself. And don't judge the whole idea by the first time you try it. You can say, oh, I tried that once and it didn't work. Well, I tried tennis and I didn't win Wimbledon, you know. you gotta practice and you gotta use it and you gotta get better at it. So it will work, but you know, just like the first time you use the Supernova presentation, it's not going to be perfect. But it's such a good idea, people like it even when you're not perfect. And by the 10th time you're presenting it, you're pretty good at it. And then they just love it, you know. Then they think it's wonderful. So anytime you've got a new idea, give it time to marinate and practice it and practice it and practice it on clients. And, you know, this is a good idea that the whole team tries. And that you kind of support each other in it. Because it's different, you know? Anytime you're using something that's different, it's very easy to say it doesn't work.
Okay.
Okay.
But it will work. It will work. And again, this is for highly qualified clients, not the marginal ones where, you know, they hardly meet their minimums, or just for somebody that's, oh yeah, this guy's got $8 million, $10 million. And it worked. I had a guy that had $10 million. He did this. Client loved it. He wasn't getting any of this. He had no idea what it really meant to be a client. And he moved his $10 million. The guy called me. Anyway, there's some crazy stories out there of people's success, you know.
Rob, we have two things, but I don't know if it's just for time. Do you want to talk about the beer? No, because you had a question on the butler thing, too.
No, go ahead. Go ahead with beer.
So, Rob, I don't know if I'm jumping ahead or not, but I don't think so, and I just don't remember. There was something you had said once, and I might have just heard it in one of the meetings, and I don't know if I read it or I just didn't catch it again, but it was something to do with a, and I wanted to see if this, you know, kind of how to structure it. It had to do with something I just said about, I think it might have been the book, about the Philip Kill Me. And we have certain relationships that, you know, they have high, their high net worth, $8 million plus, extremely low revenue, and the only extremely low revenue, not one of the guys just started to do CDs. And basically the only thing that we've been able to find on our, in our screening list is we like them and he likes us. But everything else is another. And we have that hope that one day we're going to come up with something or have an idea that we're going to do or something like that. So actually, we actually eliminated him from and put him more into a prospect and took him out of the what we had segmented because we're just so negative with what potential we have with him going forward. But again, we want to make sure that I think that we've gone through every possibility that we can. So we have, I mean, he's probably the only one. We have another guy that, we have another gentleman that has high net worth. We haven't done those without Amigo. But that, maybe there's some potential there. But I don't know. These guys that you have, because we don't have a lot of them. But these guys that we have are big. So suggestions on, do we throw them in the Supernova and see if we can make any traction there, or do we just do something like in the Phil meeting and see what it is that we can do with these? What should we do with them?
Well, you're talking about a category of clients that that everybody has, and that's clients with a lot of money that don't listen to you.
Right.
And so the question, they therefore by automatically don't qualify to be a client. So even though they have one piece, so, you know, it would be as if you said to me, the client has no money, but he qualifies because he likes us.
Right.
Okay, and you'd say, that's ridiculous. Okay, so when a client has money, but he likes us, but he won't listen to us, he doesn't qualify. Therefore, he can't be a client. Now, if you think, even though you tried 10 times, an 11th time might just work, then knock yourself out.
Hey. Yep. You think what?
But don't waste, I mean, one of the things, we had a guy named Dick Green that worked in my office in Boston when I was with Maryland, and he said, you know, don't waste your time with people that say no. There's plenty of people out there that want to say yes. So here you've got a client that said no to you 10 times. Why do you think you want to waste time on the 11th and the 12th? That somehow a lightning struck and he all of a sudden he became a risk taker?
Right.
I don't think so. I mean, you guys are smart. You're clever. You've done everything. So So, yeah, maybe one more time, take them to dinner or take them to lunch and say, hey, this is what we're doing. You know, fill or kill meeting. Love you. This is what we're doing. We hired a consultant and then go through the whole story. Right? Hired a consultant. We wanted, you know, we had too many clients. It was, you know, the result was great success, but we had too many clients. So what we did was, you know, we hired a consultant. We weren't able to keep up the level of service we liked. We hired a consultant. This is what he told us. You have too many clients because, you know, blah, blah, blah. So this is what we decide we're going to do. We're going to give, every client's going to get multi-generational planning, full implementation of the planning process through 12 scheduled appointments for reviews to them in person, and rapid response to your problems, 1 hour response, 24 hour resolution. How does that sound? That's the question you've got to ask him. How does that sound?
Okay.
Okay, and he's going to say, it doesn't apply to me. Or, it sounds really good. I've been waiting my whole life for you guys to make that speech. I'm in. My bet is that he will, you know, based on your experience so far, he's going to have a big bunch of stories as to why he is afraid of everything, including CDs. So, you know, it's probably not going to work, and you tell them this is, you know, our opportunity to find someone else that would be more suitable for you. And hand them off. Don't put them in the festering. He's not doing you any good. He's just going to be a distraction because it's going to make you think you have something. I'd rather have you get rid of him and feel like you've got a big hole there that you have to fill. Okay, it will create your sense of urgency.
Okay.
As long as you've got 10 of these people there, you've got somebody to call every week, a month. And they're always going to say no, so why knock your brains out and discourage yourself? And you've got people that will say yes, that need you.
That's true. Okay. Okay.
Right. So it's a you know, it's a courageous time. It's a time to cross the invisible bridge. And if the key, when I talked to George Kemp about why he was willing to go from 650 clients down to 33, he said because I had the confidence that I could replace them. Not 600, but he could replace, you know, 20. And so he did. I mean, he doubled his business without even ever increasing the number of clients from 33. You know, he went to around 50 clients at the max and doubled his business again. So that's the key. You want to be exclusive, and you want people that like you, trust you, listen to you, and you listen to them. You know, they're willing to use you, and you're willing to listen to them. And these become long-term, very important relationships. And they can't go anywhere without trust. So when you build your enthusiastically endorsed list of trusted professionals, the key is trusted professionals. That's the key. So when you're, all of this is built on trust. Everybody's got to trust each other. And this guy doesn't trust you. Or himself. He doesn't trust the world.
Okay.
So, you know, they're always interesting stories. I'm always interested to hear why this one's different. Why this one will turn out.
Exactly.
And you wanna give it another shot or give it to somebody else, and maybe they got a shot at it, you know? Not gonna do you guys any good at this point. You've tried it. If you've tried it, if you haven't called them, you know, it's an inherited account. You never built a relationship. Whatever, whatever. You know, you can give that one, that kind of thing, you can give another try. Take him to dinner. And, you know, he probably won't go to dinner. He probably won't go to lunch, you know. So, you know, he just...
He kind of is a little awkward in that way, right? Like, it's almost like, how would you describe it, man? He's kind of awkward in that way. I think if he does it, he's doing it, but it's not, I don't know how to describe it, man. It's not like a genuine,
no.
It's not genuine. I don't think it's a relationship that we really
He likes us, but he doesn't love us.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not an ambassador. He's not ready to introduce you. So, you know, so that one, frankly, that's the easy one, right? There's other more complicated cases where it's, you know, the guy, you know, is got a lot of money, likes us, he gives us some, you know, but seems to give it out in little dribs and drabs or whatever. There's a lot of different cases like that that are more complicated. That one's pretty straightforward, I think, based on what you said. Anyway, thank you. Yeah. What else? You said you had a couple of questions.
Did you want to ask them on the Butlers? Did you have a
No, book? I think I'm more clear.
Okay.
I guess, does a COI have to be a client, or can it just be a COI?
No, it doesn't have to be a client. Eventually, it should be a client. But it may be a person that doesn't have the minimum. But they should know what you do in detail. So my suggestion would be to have them become a client and do the 12-4-2 on them if they, even if they don't meet your minimums, but they can give you 4 introductions a month. Then you definitely will want them to know what it's like to be a client.
Okay.
So the idea with the centers of influence is to make them, you know, I had a guy that I worked with in the Midwest, and he said, you know, this center of influence thing has always worked, but in most cases it took me as much as 20 years to build. And he said, I don't want to spend the next 20 years, you know, building one center of influence. I said, yeah, you know, what you've done is you've built credibility with him over time and you've become friends, right? And he goes, yes. I said, so if you all out needed to make or really like somebody and you wanted them to become a friend, how long would it take for that friendship to become real? Not an acquaintance, not an associate, but a real friend. It takes so many interactions is what it does. So in those 20 years you had interactions with them, but they may not have been that intimate. You know, they may not have been that often. So what you need to do with these centers of influence is you've got to meet with them enough over the next 24 months that person actually becomes a friend. A real friend. And then along the way, they will introduce you and refer you. And by the time they're a real friend, then they'll introduce you and refer you on a regular basis as you will to them. As you would with any friend that you trusted and you wanted to help. So the key is to make it somebody that you'd really like to be friends with. Okay, this isn't a fake deal. This is all real stuff. So it's a person that likes you, trusts you, and sends you business without you asking. That's the definition of a center of influence. If it's a person that you've met and you like them, what are the qualities that would make sense to be friends with them? You have similar interests, right? So you're not going to become great friends with somebody that has completely different interests than you do. So they, you know, you play golf with them, you play tennis with them, you met them through your club, or you met them through a social organization. somehow you met them and you have enough in common, you'd like to be friends. Now, it's easier if the person is in the same socioeconomic situation as you are. They're the same age, your children are the same ages, they make about the same amount of money, etc. That makes their everything that you talk about similar. If you travel to Europe twice a year and fly fish in Alaska and take trips that cost $30,000 a couple times a year, and that person can't even come close to affording that, then they're not going to be a good friend because they can't go with you to Alaska and they can't go with you to Europe. Okay? So that's what I mean about being in the same socioeconomic condition. You can do things together, and the one of you is not going to feel uncomfortable. The other thing is the age thing. You should be similar age, and the reason is because your kids are going to be the similar age, and your health is going to have similarities. You're going to have similar problems and challenges and opportunities. So when you're picking these centers of influence, you know, we have 11 different screens for picking a client. When picking a center of influence, you should have a similar number of screens for a person to go through. And just think about the people you have today that are centers of influence for you. What makes them unique? They like you, they trust you, and they send you introductions without you asking. You say, why do they like me? I don't know. They just like me. They always try to help me. And I like them, and I try to help them. So this is not gimmicky stuff. This is real. And to build relationships, you've got to have time. You've got to give it time. So we suggest that you meet with your center of influence every single month. And you do things that make it fun. So you go to breakfast, you go to lunch, you go to, you know, you go to a ball game, you go play golf, you go fishing, whatever you guys like to do, you do it with them, and you just build that friendship. And when you're meeting with them on a professional level, which I recommend, you know, not all the time, but at least, you know, if you're going to meet socially, let's say you're at once a month for four months you're looking initially. One of those can be a social thing where you play golf. But the other three should be business related, where you talk about the business. And remember, the key in meeting centers of influence and making them relevant is not just them and their personality, but their practice. Make sure their practice is a good fit for you. They can't be clients where they charge them $1,500 to do their taxes. Okay? It's got to be a client that their clientele has to match your clientele. Or they can be friends with them, but they're not going to be a center of influence because their clients don't meet your minimum. You know, occasionally they meet somebody that meets their minimum. But they're not going to be a solid center of influence for you, the kind of person you meet with on a monthly basis. You want that to be a person whose clientele meets your minimum. And we suggest that it's a 5-step process for getting to know them and having them get to know us. And then there's a teaching process that goes on. So you visit them and bring your staff and have everybody get to know each other and listen to them, find out what do they specialize in. And then have them come over and meet your team, and tell them what you do and how you do it, and what you specialize in. And then that's two meetings. The third meeting is in order to, well, the first meeting was you just get to know them. Second meeting is at their place. Third meeting is at your place. Fourth meeting is where you teach them the enthusiastically endorsed model. And you, And that is simple. You ask every one of your clients, friends, neighbors, can you enthusiastically endorse your attorney, your CPA, your commercial realtor, your residential realtor? So you're getting this network of professionals. So you teach him, you say, well, how do you get all these introductions for me? I ask every client, can you enthusiastically endorse their CPA? And when they say no, I'm interested in a new one, then I bring them to you. Well, how can I do that? Well, you ask the same question. Can you enthusiastically endorse your financial advisor? And when they say no, I'm thinking about getting a new one, you say, would you be open to an introduction to a financial advisor that I've worked with for some time and I highly recommend? They say, sure. Now, we recommend that you have introduced three, and you know, people say, well, this guy's already got one. You know, I know he introduces, you know, he's got a CPA. He's got a financial advisor he recommends all the time. Well, if he's smart, he recommends three of them. And you should be one of them. Okay? So you break in that way. Or you get one where, you know, you don't need to break in. He doesn't have one, or he's just lost, and the CPA just retired. Whatever. It's not, people aren't sitting there waiting for you. No, you've got to earn these things. You've got to break your way in. But you've got a different story. You've got a better product. And you earn their trust over time, and you make good friends with them. And that's why I recommend people of similar age, because you want to age out with them. You don't want an old guy that's not interested in growing. You don't want a brand new guy who doesn't have any relationships. So you want somebody similar in age. Questions on the enthusiastically endorsed model and the niche market. I mean, that's in the center of influence marketing.
No. No.
Okay. What else? What other questions? I want to stay relevant to what you need.
At this point, Rob, I don't have other questions either. I think we got to just, we'll probably start implementing already and talking to some people over the course of this week. So we'll see how that goes, and then we'll probably have some more information for you next week, depending how it goes for us. Starting to have the conversations with the clients about this stuff. So
good. Okay.
More feedback for you next week is whatever we get. So we're going to actually start the process.
Okay. So you guys, are you listening to the videos?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, good. So just stay with that and keep listening to those, because that will generate some questions for you. I don't want to skip anything, but I don't want to hold you guys up. All
right?
In terms of progress. If I know you're listening to the videos, then we'll just, you know, progress along with that. So next week we'll talk about organization and structure. So the five-star model, okay? I think that's in week three. So become familiar with that, and I'll show you why that makes sense in terms of presenting your team as a very organized professional team.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Great. Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Rob. Bye. Take care. Bye-bye.